Good morning. Welcome to what is today? Today is the 2nd of April. Can you believe it? And I want to thank you for joining me today. Remember, tomandsarah@outlook.com. That's my email address. You can get a hold of me there. And I just want to tell you, it's been really a pleasure, chatting with some folks via email, but and getting some of the just clarifying things, getting some people who are willing to invest in my future. Anyway, praise God. God is doing some great things. I'm convinced that where I'm going at this moment in time, God has placed me here for such a time as this. And I'm excited. I mean, like the Lord's been opening up His word to me. Today I was reading out of Ruth, got some stuff out of there. I was reading last night, the Lord gave me a verse out of Zechariah. And Zechariah, actually, Zechariah chapter 9. And I've been really just kind of like the Lord has really opened up His word to me. And, it's not like I'm in this season right now where everything is going great, and because right now it's just kind of like, okay, I'm taking a day at a time and just trying to move forward with every day. So we're going to get into this thing. You can purchase my books via Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Walmart.com, any place that sells books, you can get the book. I'm working on a few books right now. And, my first book was SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God. It's from the Song of Songs out of the Passion Translation. It's a devotional geared to 5 to 10 minutes a day. Also, I have another book. It's called From Breakdown to Breakthrough, My Journey to Soul Health. I wrote that after my nervous breakdown in and healing from 2018. And you don't know what it, well, you maybe you do. You know what it's like when you just don't want to get out of bed and you're depressed and the phone rings and you start shaking. Well, that's kind of where I'm at. Anyway, I wanted to start off here in James or Jacob, however, the Passion says that there was no name James in Israel at the time, and this man Jacob was actually, I think if I'm not mistaken, he was the brother of Jesus, wasn't he? It's one of these things that I just wanted to. He was either the first pastor of Jerusalem, or he was Jesus' brother, or both. I don't know, but I have to go back and I'll let you know tomorrow on that. But the deal is that he was talking about here that that we need to be empowered. Okay, I'm going to read from verse 6. I'm going to verse 6. Let me just read a little bit, and then we'll go. Make sure you ask whatever you ask for, you're going to receive. Make sure you ask empowered by confident faith without doubting that you will receive. For the ambivalent person believes one minute and doubts the next. Being undecided makes you become like the rough seas driven and tossed by the wind. You're up one minute and tossed down the next. When you are half-hearted and wavering, it leaves you unstable. Can you really expect to receive anything from the Lord when you're in that condition? The believer who is poor still has reason to boast, for he has been placed on high. But those who are rich should boast on how God has brought them low and humbled them, for all their earthly glory will one day fade away like a wild flower in the meadow. For as the scorching heat of the sun causes the petals of the wild flower to fall off and lose its appearance of beauty, so the rich in the midst of their pursuit will wither away. If your faith remains strong, even while surrounded by life's difficulties, you will continue to experience the untold blessings of God. True happiness comes as you pass the test with faith and receive the glory, the victorious crown of life promised to every lover of God. When you are tempted, never say, God is tempting me, for God is incapable of being tempted by evil, and he is never the source of temptation. Instead, it is each person's own desires and thoughts that drag them into evil and lure them away into darkness. Evil desires give birth to evil actions, and when sin is fully mature, it can murder you. So, my friends, don't be fooled by your own desires. In the book of John, Matthew and John, he says, ask anything in my name, and I will give it to you, and this way I will show what the Father is really like. So when we ask, you know, we can ask for wisdom, we can ask for things. If it's contained in God's name, if it's contained in his character, Jesus said that he will do it. Jesus said that, I will do it. You can look at it in John 14, Matthew chapter 10. He will do it. If it's contained in his name, if it's contained in his character, he will do it. Now, God's not going to murder somebody. God's not going to have somebody have an accident. God's not going to make somebody sick so he can draw them closer. God uses, but he doesn't do that. Otherwise, we can actually say that God is a child abuser, so to speak. Just make sure when you are praying and you are asking the Lord, ask with confident belief that he will do it, trusting that he will do it. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, when it's talking about here with Sarah, and I read. Genesis where Sarah laughed out of unbelief, but this is funny. He said, Sarah's faith, chapter 11, verse 11, 11, 11, Sarah's faith embraced God's miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the years of childbearing. For the authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness. Remember, you are not having faith in your faith. You are not trusting your faith. You are trusting the one who is faithful. I can pray for people to be healed because God is faithful. That's part of his name. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. I can pray for you to be provisionally taken care of because God is Jehovah Jireh, your and my provider. Okay? And so you have to come into grips with this fact because God is who he says he is. And he will always take care of his children. He'll always take care when we pray in his name. And I know a lot of people, they pray things that are parking spaces. You know, they pray for crazy things. But God gives them to them sometimes. I mean, I've prayed for really good parking spots at Costco here in Reading, which, you know, good luck if you can get a good parking spot. And, you know, and the deal was is that, you know, that is not, you know, there's souls that are going to hell right now. And we're praying for parking spaces. Pray it in God's name. Somebody who is wavering back and forth, you know, they're unstable. Okay? When you're half-hearted, you know, you're praying half-heartedly. Now, I've prayed for people, and I didn't really think that God was going to do anything. I had this guy that used to work for me in Seattle, and his wife had diabetes, and she had to go into dialysis. So he came to work one day early, and he says, "Hey, is it okay if I work a couple hours early? I have to take my wife to dialysis." And so I said, "Sure." You can work a couple hours. And then I said, well, I believe that Jesus heals. Can I pray for her? So I prayed, and half heart, you know, it was like dialysis, you know, like, you know, I wasn't really understanding all that dialysis did. But I prayed, and I just said, Lord, you know, that you would give her kidneys like a baby. I remember praying that. And I was like, whoa. And I'm not saying that I believed it was actually going to take place, but I prayed. And the next day he came in and his eyes were this big. And he says, Tom, you'll never believe what happened. So what happened? And he said that her dialysis, the test showed that she was a 1 instead of a 19. She would normally get about 19 on her levels. And I don't know what that means, if the toxins were... anyway, and this time it was 1. And so they ran the test again. They did the test 7 times for her. And he said they had 7 specialists that came in to look at him and do the tests. And she turned out to be 1 every time. And then so the doctor said this, that it is as though she has brand new kidneys like a baby. I'm like, whoa. And then one time I was praying for a sister-in-law of a friend of mine who had 4th stage cancer in her, I don't know if it was in her large intestine or her colon, but she only had days to live. She was only going to live a couple days. She was going to fly to Chicago to see a specialist there. And to basically go and die. So they brought her to the healing rooms at Bethel. They prayed for her, and then afterwards I prayed for her, and I prayed this prayer, and I have never done it before, but you will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. So she ended up going back to Chicago. She flew to Chicago. The doctor ran the tests and everything. And when all the tests were done and the MRIs or whatever they do, he said that it is like we found no trace of cancer. Now, there's one thing when you don't find any more cancer, but there's another thing when you find no trace of the cancer. And both of those times, the words slipped out of my mouth. All right. I recommend, when you're praying, to pray the name of Jesus over every situation, okay? And when you pray it, don't apologize if you think you've made a mistake. Just pray it. If it's contained in God's name, he said he will do it. Verse 9, the believer who is poor still has reason to boast, for he has been placed on high. But those who are rich should boast on how God has brought them low and humbled them. For all their earthly glory will one day fade away like the wildflower in the meadow. We are in this place where if you have little, you know, I remember this in Exodus when they were in the wilderness and manna came. Remember this, you know, they called it, what is it? Okay, it was like coriander seed and other things tasting. This dew came on the ground, and they picked it up, and he said that he gave a specific amount for each family. Like, if you have this, you know, if you have many, take this much. If you have little, take this much. And the Bible says those who had little had had more than enough, and those who had many had no lack. So they had what God gave them, what they were supposed to pick up. And they picked that up each day. And then on Saturday or Friday, you know, before the Sabbath, they would pick up twice as much, so they had some for the Sabbath day. And then they would go out the following day to pick it up, because you weren't allowed to pick up any on the Sabbath. So we have reason to rejoice whether we are poor or whether we are rich. We have the reasons to rejoice. Why is that? Because God still cares. And he goes, how God has brought them low and humbled them. For all their earthly glory will one day fade away. We just have to say thank you for what we have. One day it's all going to go. These, you know, million-dollar houses, I mean, multi-million-dollar houses, all of our riches, all of our everything that we have, the cars, the homes, the refrigerators, the stuff, all of it's going to fade away. We even fade away. I remember when I had a big head of afro, you know, and I remember in Bible college they said that we couldn't have any hair below our earlobes, so I grew mine out. Anyway, I had a lot of hair, and then in the 90s we shaved our heads. We had some friends and we kind of in our church, and we just shaved our heads, and everybody became bald. And I tried to grow my hair back, and this is what came back. So I just keep my hair short. I think I'm pretty good looking with a bald head. Anyway, oh, that's so good. Anyway, he says that as the scorching heat of the sun, verse 11, causes the petals of the wildflower to fall off and lose its appearance of beauty, he says, so the rich in the midst of their pursuit of wealth will wither and fade away. Now, in the land of the Bible, there are many deserts, and it's very arid, and the rainy season is quite short. Okay, it's a very short rainy season. And the sun and the heat, they scorch the earth, and it just kind of like makes everything dry until the next rain comes. Here in California, in Redding especially, it gets really hot in the summer, and it's brutal. And you have to have irrigation and things like that. But if they don't water their lawns, sometimes they're not even allowed to water the lawns because, you know, there's low levels of water, and you're not allowed to water. So they would have people come in and spray green on their lawns, so the lawns would be pretty. But we live in a constantly changing world with riches and beauty quickly fading. So we need to put our hope into things above. And I've had seasons of increase, and I've had seasons of not so much, and just having to live paycheck to paycheck. And that's kind of where I'm at now. But it's okay, because God is my provider, not the government, not paychecks. Those are not your providers. God is your provider. My bosses were never my providers. God was my provider. I remember I had this job in the 90s, and it was just like, it was really, really well-paying. It was easy job. It was a very well-paying job where I was able to play golf and do other things. You know, everything was okay. But then after my dad passed away and I moved to Redding, I had to work three jobs to make ends meet. And God still provided, and God still provides today. I mean, I don't have, like, you know, I don't have everything that I need. I mean, I don't have a barbecue and make steaks all day long every day like I used to, but it's okay. I have food. I have exercise equipment for my home. I don't have to go to the gym. I do a lot of walking, keeps me going, and I have everything that I need, you know, at this moment. And you know, the thing that I really desire is to have a companion to do the things of God with, to do, but that's okay, because I have a lot of friends that I get to do the things that I want to do with. I get to sing with, I get to pray with, and I get to go witnessing with, you know, and that's really cool. So we have those things. I mean, I've been to Hawaii, Alaska. I've been to New York a couple of times, you know, with very little. And God has been able to provide those things. So anyway, so I'm happy. Like Paul said, I am content. I have known what it is to be with, and I know what it's like to be without. And I am content in whatever circumstances that I am in. Verse 12, if your faith remains strong, even while surrounded by life's difficulties, you will continue to experience the untold blessings of God. True happiness comes as you pass the test with faith and receive the victorious crown of life promised to every lover of God. I want to read this out of the New American Standard. A friend of mine gave this to me years ago, and I want to read it out of the New American Standard. And it's James 1:12. I love this verse, actually. And, you know, blessed are you. Blessed are those who endure. Okay? It just blesses me to see that stuff. And so, let's go here. James, Holy Spirit, come. I'm going to refer to him a lot, James, Jacob, whatever. It says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, once he passes the test, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised those who love him. He promises every lover of God. When you pass the test of faith, and that is trusting God in every situation that you face. Keep your faith strong. Keep your trust. Now remember what faith is. Faith is an absolute trust in God, a belief that God and his character will continue. I love that. When you are tempted, don't ever say, God is tempting me, for God is, here it is, incapable of being tempted by evil, and he never is never the source of temptation. I hear people say this all the time. God made me sick that I would draw closer. No, the devil made you sick, and God used it to bring you closer to him. God never makes you sick. That's what Jesus paid for on the cross. And then so if you believe that God makes you sick to teach you a lesson, that not only does that negate the work of the cross and take the completed, accomplished work of Jesus and make it null and void, but it's making your sickness bigger than the cross. And we ought not to do that. That's wrong. That's a fallacy. God never will tempt you. He will never tempt you. Get that in your heart. He'll never tempt you, but he will bring you closer to him. Instead, it is each person's own desires and thoughts that drag them into evil and lure them away into darkness. Good morning, Kristen. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're home from work. Do you still work at night? Evil desires give birth to evil actions. And when sin is fully matured, it can murder you. So my friends, don't be fooled by your own desires. We have our desires and we have our God. You're tempted when you are tempted when you are lured to do evil. Now, temptation is not a sin. I want to tell you, temptation, 2 to 10, swing shift. Temptation is not a sin. It's yielding to that temptation that is a sin. It's when you give into it. You're going to be tempted every day. When I was a teenager, I hated the summertime and going to the beach. I loved the beach. But there were so many temptations, and I felt like temptation was a sin. But temptation is not a sin. Now, I know people that have tried to tempt me to drink alcohol. I don't drink alcohol. I don't like the taste of it. I mean, you know, yeah, I will have a glass of red wine or something very far and few between after dinner or something like that when I'm home. I never drink to excess. It just, you know, beer doesn't excite me. I don't like the taste of it. Cigarettes. I'm allergic to cigarette smoke, so I don't smoke. And it's not a temptation for me. Drugs are not a temptation for me. But many people it is. God delivered me from a lot of things that I felt how it hurt him. And I never want to hurt God anymore. So don't allow your desires to give birth to your act, to these actions. This is funny, but today, years ago, we had a preacher that kept talking about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. And every time he said it, my flesh would just get all excited. I was a teenager, but what are you going to do? Never give into it, because it'll end up murdering you. Stay away from it. It'll murder you. Stay with those that you love. Stay with the one that loves you the most, and that is God. All right, I'm going to just kind of give a commercial here real quick. And that is, I'm going to school this year in September, and I'm trying to raise $5,500, right about that. So I'm looking for 100 people, maybe 100 people to give $55, or 1,000 people to give $5.50 to the school. And if you want to do that, TomandSarah@Outlook.com. That's a way to get a hold of me. Take care of yourself, Kristen. Have a great time, okay? Take care of that baby girl of yours. You too. Be good. We'll talk to you later. So I'm going to be going to the school. I'm going to be going to the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. If you want to give into that, TomandSarah@Outlook.com. And I'll send you the how-tos. If you want to donate into the ministry, you can do it the same way. TomandSarah@Outlook.com, and we'll get you going into that. All right. Well, that's it for today. God bless you. Have a great day. Take care of your granddaughter, Kristen. And those of you, just stay close to the Lord. Remember, don't be fooled. You know, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he's also going to reap. Anyway, we'll pick up verse 17 tomorrow. So God bless you. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time.